Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we dig into the sources to get you the essential info fast. Today, we're looking at a really significant piece of South African law. It's the Communal Property Associations Act from 1996, and it's actually been updated fairly recently, October 2024. Our mission really is to give you a clear summary of what this act is all about, essentially how it lets communities, often, historically disadvantaged ones, get formal control over land.
That's right. They do this by setting up something called a Communal Property Association, a CPA.
Right, PA.
And this CPA acts as a legal entity. The formal term is a juristic person.
Okay.
So it allows the community to acquire, hold, and manage property together in common. And what's really interesting, I think globally even, is how strict the governance rules are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about handing over land. The main goal is making sure these CPAs are, well, non-discriminatory, fair, democratic, and really importantly, accountable.
So like a safeguard.
Exactly. It's basically a structural defense, trying to protect individual members from potential abuse of power, which sadly has happened in other communal land situations.
Okay, so let's get into that structure. How does the oversight work? Because protecting assets long-term needs rules.
It does. The Act set up a specific body, the Communal Property Association's office, or CPA office.
Oh, okay.
And that sits within the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. So it's got government backing.
Right. And who runs the show there?
The key figure is the Registrar of Communal Property Associations. And their role is pretty huge.
How so?
They don't just, file the paperwork for registration. They actively provide assistance. They have to verify every single member of the association.
Every member.
Ensure the association's following the rules. And they keep this official public register of all the CPAs. It's very hands-on.
Okay, so if a community wants to actually form one of these CPAs, what's the process like?
Well, first, they need a written constitution. And often, they'll get help from the registrar's office to make sure it complies with the act.
Makes sense.
Then, the really crucial part, the community has to formally adopt this constitution, and that takes a big decision.
How big?
It needs a resolution supported by at least 60% of all the verified members who actually have the right to vote.
60%, that's a high bar.
It is.
Yeah.
And that 60% threshold, it pops up again and again.
Yeah.
But the constitution itself has non-negotiables baked in. Section 9 lists them.
Like what?
Things like fair membership are mandatory. It explicitly prohibits discrimination, race, gender, sex, age, disability, religion, you name it. It's meant to be truly equal access.
And democratic too, you said.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Every member has the right to get notice about meetings, to attend, to vote, and crucially, to see the financial records and the Constitution itself. Transparency is built in.
Okay, so that 60% requirement you mentioned, it's not just for setting up the CPA.
No, not at all. That same 60% majority of voting members is needed for any major decision later on.
Such as?
Things like amending the Constitution itself, deciding to dissolve the association entirely, or, and this is key selling, or encumbering the immovable property.
Encumbering meaning like using the land as collateral for a loan.
Exactly. Yeah. Selling it or borrowing against it. Big decisions need that big majority.
60% for every major move. I mean, isn't there a risk that makes things incredibly slow? Almost guaranteeing the land just stays put, maybe stagnates?
That's the fundamental tension, isn't it? It clearly prioritizes stability and consensus over, let's say, rapid transactions.
Okay.
And you really see that caution when it comes to selling land, which is covered in Section 12.
How so?
Well, first, you need that 60% member resolution we talked about. But then you also need prior consultation with the minister.
Your minister. Okay, another layer.
Yes. And here's a really interesting bit. If a CPA does decide to sell its communal property, the department itself, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, gets the first option to buy it.
Wow, hold on. The government department overseeing these things gets first dibs if the community wants to sell.
That's what the act says. First option to purchase.
That really underscores the need for tight financial controls then.
Absolutely. And the act demands it. Financial records have to be independently verified every single year.
Independently verified. Okay.
And all the association's money, all cash, must go into an account with a registered bank. And that bank account can't even be used until the registrar issues a specific confirmation letter.
That sounds like serious anti-corruption measures.
It's designed to be. And if things do go wrong, if there are disputes or misconduct.
Yeah, what happens then?
The registrar has significant powers. They can bring in a mediator, an expert, to sort out disputes between members in the association.
Okay, mediation first.
But they can go further. inspections, demanding information through subpoenas, even dissolving the whole management committee or kicking out a specific member if there are doubts about their integrity or if they're just not doing the job.
So real enforcement teeth.
Definitely. And the penalties for breaking the rules, like abusing power or messing with the finances, they're serious.
Oh, serious.
A conviction could lead to a hefty fine or even imprisonment for up to 10 years.
10 years. Okay, they're not messing around with protecting these community assets.
No, they're not. The whole CPA Act is really this framework trying to balance two things. Giving communities real autonomy over their land, but also building in these strong institutional checks for transparency and protection, trying to avoid the pitfalls of the past.
Right. It's a complex balance. So thinking about this for you, our listener, when a community gets legal ownership, but the government body overseeing them has that first option to purchase if they sell, does that point towards genuine community autonomy in the long run? Or does it kind of create a permanent guided management structure over these important land assets, something to mull over?